vengeance of God would be displayed, not for their blood, but for the blood of His Son. Tonight, we're going to see the sixth seal open and the effects that follow. So let's read Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. Revelation 6:12. Then I saw him open the sixth seal. A violent earthquake occurred. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The entire moon became like blood. The stars of heaven fell to the earth, as fig tree drops unripe figs when shaken by a high wind. The sky separated like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain in the island was moved from its place. The king of the earth, the nobles, the military commanders, the rich, the powerful, and every slave and every free person hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of the one seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of their wrath has come. And who is able to stand?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for you. We thank you for giving us a way that we don't have to suffer through this. Lord, we pray that you would be with us this night while we're going through this scripture for a short period of time. Pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Help it, Lord, to penetrate us. Help us not just to see it, but help it to penetrate our hearts tonight, that we might be greater Christians when we walk through these doors back to our mission fields, Lord. We greatly need to understand what is taking place, and it's going to be in a short period of time when all this happens. God, help it. Help it to penetrate our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be greater Christians for you. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. After reading this account and these events that have taken place in chapter 6, when the sixth seal is broken, I want to read what Warren Wiersbe says, because for what we had just saw take place, even more, we as Christians think this is just too much for us to bear. How can a God who loves us do this to His own creation? And listen, this is a question that I've been asked. You know, how in the world can God who loves us unleash Himself upon us the way He has? And it's a viable question. It's one that we as Christians need to be ready to answer. And the first one, those of you who were on Facebook saw that I posted just last night. Listen to this. It says, "If a man or woman will not yield to the love of God and be changed by the grace of God, then there is no way for them to escape the wrath of God." Listen to this again. Warren Wiersbe. If men and women will not yield to the love of God and be changed by the grace of God, then there is no way for them to escape the wrath of God. It can't happen. That's an equation for trouble. Listen to a second quote. "God's wrath is not like a child's temper tantrum or punishment meted out by an intolerant parent. God's wrath is the evidence of His holy love for all that is right and His holy hatred for all that is evil. Only a soft, sentimental person would want to worship a God who did not justly deal with evil in this world." Warren Wiersbe. That's true. What we have coming, God has tried to warn us. He's tried to stop us from going down the path that we're on. He's tried everything He knows to do. As you read through just the Old Testament, see how many times God has time and time tried to call His people back to Him, back to Himself, tried to yield them off the path that they've taken that is wrong. God has done the same thing for us in the New Testament through Christ. Listen, it's so easy, and I think at times, because it's so easy, man thinks it's too easy. It can't be that easy. It's so easy to accept Christ as your personal Savior, but many won't. It's not. God has done everything He knows to do. He let His Son be murdered, and He took place in the murder Himself by not stopping it. What else can He do? He's done everything He knows to do to stop every man from experiencing what we've looked at tonight. Now, last week we heard martyrs cry, "Avenge us." Y'all remember that? They were crying underneath the altar. They were saying, "Avenge us, avenge us." Tonight, we hear the lost cry, hide us. Hide us. Now, something that I did not mention last week, and I should have, but if you look at chapter 6, verse 1, we see that John is summoned to come. When the second seal is broken, John is called to come. The third seal is mentioned, John is called to come. When the fourth seal is broken, John again is summoned to come forward. As we look at the fifth and sixth seal, we do not hear John being summoned to come. Why are they any different? There are scholars who believe that the fourth, fifth, and sixth seal are either closer in time when the seals are broken, or they are happening one right after the other, because John is not summoned to come forward. So just keep that in mind as we move forward. Now, what is it that John did see? As we just read through this, what exactly is it that John saw? And we see it in verse 12 through 16. John saw the first of three great earthquakes that are going to take place in the book of Revelation. The other two are in chapter 11, verse 13, and chapter 16, verse 18 through 19. Two more are coming that are just like this one. Listen to how descriptive John is with what he is seeing take place right before his eyes. What is it that he saw? Number one, he saw the earthquake to be very violent. Very violent. The King James uses the word great. The Greek word for this word great is megos. Megos. Now, what English word would you think that we get from the word megos? Mega. That's exactly right. See, I'm teaching y'all Greek in here. Mega. Mega meaning huge or enormous. Now, as we're at the very onset of this message, I want to try to get a visualization in your head about, and I don't believe I can do it justice. I really don't. But just an idea of what this earthquake is going to, just a little bit of what it's going to look like. Show that clip. I want you to understand something. Just before the attacks that took place in Paris this past week, there was an earthquake in Japan. Now, how big of an earthquake was it? I heard somebody say it. How big was it? What did it register? 7.5 on the Richter scale, I believe so. Understand something tonight. Please understand something. What we're talking about in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 12 through 16 or through 17, this is not going to be able to be registered on any Richter scale. You see, in our mind, we desensitize ourselves and we try to rate everything. What is going to take place that we see tonight is going to be so cataclysmic, you cannot rate it on the Richter scale. Now, John is very descriptive. He says this thing is going to be very, very, very violent. What we just saw is nothing, I believe, compared to what is actually going to take place. The second thing he tells us tonight is this: the sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. Anybody have a sackcloth made of goat hair? I don't either. I mean, I've had a lot of things in life, and there's been times that I've asked for unusual things for Christmas and my birthday, but I've never asked for a sackcloth made of goat hair. Well, this illustration may be unusual to us, but the people of John's day, they knew exactly what he was writing about. They understood well what it meant. In our terms, what he's saying is this: you could barely tell that it was daytime. This is most likely due to the debris that's in the air from the earthquakes, the fires, and the eruptions that were caused by the quake. Well, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. I didn't see anything about earthquakes there. I mean, I didn't see anything about eruptions. Well, listen, it's natural, and we understand this through science. And listen, church, science and Scripture do meld together. You do know that, right? They complement each other. A lot of scientists who are NASA scientists, they will tell you in a heartbeat, you cannot see and study what we study and not know that Jesus is real. Now, there's some, I'm sure, who are atheists, but there are many NASA astronauts and scientists who are Christians for the things that they've seen. Now, when this earthquake takes place, and we're going to talk about here in a couple seconds, the unbelievable magnitude of what it is, there are going to be unbelievable eruptions. What kind of eruptions? Well, volcanic eruptions. We've got volcanoes all over the world. And you can go and visit them. I saw an active, inactive volcano when I was in Nicaragua. You flew into Managua, Nicaragua, and you could see from a distance this volcano, this mountain, just smoking. Now, how many of y'all remember, I think it was 1980 or 1991 or 92 when Mount St. Helens blew? And all it did was just shoot ash into the air. And y'all remember, I mean, just the ash killed thousands or hundreds of people. And it just slid everywhere, mudslides everywhere. It took them forever to clean that mess up. But the ash that it shot up in the air, they said it was like, it was daytime, but it was like dark. That's just one. Y'all remember the volcano, I think it was a couple years ago in Indonesia, that was erupting, and it closed the airports down going into Europe for 3 days. Just one. We're talking about a cataclysmic, unbelievable earthquake that's going to rock this earth, and there are going to be multiple eruptions. What else is going to take place? Well, did y'all hear when that... Did anybody even hear about the earthquake in Japan? What happened just shortly after the earthquakes took place? Tsunami alerts. Tsunami alerts. Listen, there's not only going to be eruptions, there's going to be unbelievable tsunamis. Brother Kyle, how do you know all this? It doesn't say this. Listen, we see what's taking place in our own backyard in the time that we lived. I promise you, the magnitude of this earthquake, you're going to see both eruptions and tsunamis like you've never in your life ever. I'm not going to see them. I'm going to see them from the other side of heaven. But if you're here on this earth, you can go ahead and better expect it. Well, how do you know all this? I'll get to that. John also said, the entire moon became like blood. Now, this too is thought to be the effect of much smoke and debris that's in the air. What we need to realize at this point is that what the people on earth will be seeing is as they look up at the moon, they're still in shock of the events of the day that have taken place, will be unlike anything they've ever seen in all their life. They've never experienced anything like what they're seeing take place. Don't want to be here. Not going to be here. Now, John says the stars of heaven will fall. Now, scholars believe that John may have seen what we call meteor showers that are very heavy, of the very heavy kind, very heavy meteor showers. What we know today that people in those days did not know was the absolute size of a star. Now, they didn't understand back in that day what a star was. The absolute. Now, he's saying all the stars of heaven fell. If just one star from heaven fell, it would destroy this earth. So scholars are in great beliefs that what he's seeing is an unbelievable meteor shower. Now, if you look up synonyms for the word meteor, it's interesting to see two words pop up. The first one's asteroid. That's not unusual. The second one is fireballs. This is synonymous with what's going to be taking place on the earth. Unbelievable. Now, what else did John see? John saw the sky separated like a scroll. And he was very, he used that wording. The sky was separated like a scroll being rolled up. Like the scroll being rolled up. Paige Patterson says this: almost certainly what is being described here are meteorological storms of such increased magnitude that a tornado and of tornadoes and hurricanes like effects are created everywhere in the sky, giving the look of the rolling up of a scroll. Now, what's interesting is I hadn't read this, but last Friday night, Kyle and I are going to Bluffton to see Bluffton's last home football game. As we got on to the beltway to go towards Bluffton, you could see all the way across the wetlands. It looked like something was rolling in. Do you remember that? All the way around Savannah, it looked like something was rolling in. We got up to the Talmadge Bridge, and we looked over out towards the ocean, and it was rolling in. And we didn't have a clue what it was. I thought it was a storm front. But as the night progressed, fog rolled into the stadium like I've never seen before in all my life. Now, I said that to say this. Maybe it was God helping me to understand what he's talking about here tonight. If it wasn't, he did anyway. The magnitude of what's going to take place, it is going to defy anything that in our minds can sum up. The folding back of the sky. I don't know how else to illustrate it than the way I just did. I can't tell you exactly what that means, but it is going to be defining in this moment for anybody who is still here on earth that day. It is going to be an unbelievable display of who God is and what's taking place. Now, to understand how powerful this storm is, and to validate the fact that you're not going to be able to scale this on the Richter scale, is the last thing that John says that he saw. He said, every mountain and island moved from its place. That ain't a 5.7. That ain't a 7.5. That's not a 9. That's a kick in the face to the Richter scale saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? Okay, if you did not know before, you do now. This is not an ordinary earthquake. This is a huge, what scientists call, tectonic shift. A tectonic shift. The kind of shift that scientists say caused continental drift to occur. Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? You're talking all these scientific terms. You're trying to go over our head. What are you talking about? If you look at a map of the world, have you ever noticed that South America and Africa look like two puzzle pieces that were ripped apart? That is tectonic drift. Okay? We also call it continental drift. But what took place was they used to be formed together. When a violent eruption took place, they are separating. Scientists say that the separation is now between 1.5 foot to 2.6 feet of separation every single year. Well, Brother Kyle, that just seems like a natural occurrence. No, it's not. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 20, screaming out to us every single day that God is around us. God reveals himself through what? His creation. Even the invisible things are clearly seen, that we will have no excuse, church. Listen, there's not a person on this earth that's going to have an excuse when Jesus comes. There's not a person in this world who's going to have an excuse when they stand before God and say, hey, listen, I didn't know. Yes, you did. You really did. Now, we saw what John saw. What did the people of the earth do? We see these actions in verses 15 through 17. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, then the kings of the earth, the nobles, the military commanders, the rich, the powerful, and every slave and free person hid in the caves among the rocks on the mountains. Church, every person on the earth at one time, at the very same moment, were made equal. Did you see that? Listen to it again. Verse 15. Then the kings of the earth, the nobles, the military commanders, the rich, the powerful, and every slave and free person hid in the caves among the rocks of the mountains. They became equal. Rich man couldn't buy himself out of it. Poor man couldn't work himself to anything greater. They were all on this day equal. Paige Patterson says that this moment, in time, all men are reduced to a common denominator, quaking in fear before the judgment of God, who alone is sovereign. Church, don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, and they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one seated on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? As we read verse 16 and 17, what did these people do? Church, they hid. Warren Wiersbe says these people refused to submit to God's will before the rapture. They would rather hide from God in fear. Y'all remember Adam and Eve? They would rather hide from God in fear than to run to Him in faith. They are proof, listen to me, they are proof that judgment by itself does not change the human heart. Does not. Listen, if people just understood that unbelievable pending judgment was coming upon you if you did not accept Christ as your personal Savior. If that's all I preached, you have to understand that that's not enough to change some human hearts. Not only will men seek to hide from God, but they will blaspheme Him as well. We see God blaspheme three times, not only in the chapter tonight, but in chapter 16, verse 9, chapter 16, verse 11, and chapter 16, verse 21. They openly blaspheme God. Now, something to understand here as we conclude, something to understand, is those who were hiding in these verses were not crediting Jesus for these events. John is. John is crediting Jesus for these events, but they are not. But those people who were, they are pointing up to the God of the heavens. We know that there are two of them are the same as one, but they don't understand this. These very same people, if they had heard the gospel prior to the rapture, are very shortly going to worship not the Messiah, but the Antichrist. This is not good. Listen to what I said earlier tonight. Please, if you don't get it, take anything away from this, write this down beside these verses tonight. If men and women will not yield to the love of God and be changed by the grace of God, then there is no way for them to escape from the wrath of God. No way. The lost can still escape today, church. The lost can still escape today. Almost 7 billion people. They can still accept Christ today. You can still sound the warning alarm for all the world to hear today. Are you? Will you? I can't imagine having the blood of so many people on my hands. Can you? If this is not coming, God is a liar. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, as we close the book on Revelation chapter 6 tonight, God, I pray that this is a chapter that we'll come back and visit many times in the days to come. Lord, help it never to be pushed to the side of our minds. Help us to remember it freshly. God, I pray that you would help us to sound the alarm, to quit being spiritual sissies and stand up boldly for you. Help us, God, that others' blood will not be on our hands. Help us to see the enormity of what's going to take place. God, our friends and our family, those we say we love right now are going to be left behind if we don't tell them the truth. Help us, Lord, to find the fortitude through you to tell the world the truth every opportunity that we get. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?